Are you ready to take your writing to the next level? Then welcome to the Book Editor Show. Join Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley each week as they teach you all the tips, tools, and techniques you need to move your book from manuscript to market. Visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books, and extras to make your old novel better than ever. Now, please welcome Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley.
Welcome to the Book Editor Show. Today, we look at editing with power found in threes. If you're ready to move forward with your professional editing, stop by thebookeditorshow.com. We can help in every stage of your work, from pre-production, developmental editing, copy editing, to proofreading. Stop by today and let us know how we can help you build a better book. I'm Clark Chamberlain, and there is a man who is shrouded in mystery, a man able to compete against the ancient mystics and survive, a man who I'm afraid is not here today. That man is my friend and co-host, Peter Turley. And unfortunately, Peter was unable to be here today. You do understand that it is the supermoon, and Peter is off having to do, he's off hunting the most dangerous of all beasts, the were panda. And I wish him well and hope that he has safe returns here back to us on the Book Editor Show. So I hope everyone's having a good day. This last week has been a little crazy. The week before that, of course, has always been crazy. And it's just been a great amount of work going on. And of course, NaNoWriMo is happening right now. And I've been really trying to get into that. Have done all right. I'm still a little bit farther behind than I would like to be, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to get caught up. So I hope all of you have been having a great week as well. And if you're taking part in NaNoWriMo, pat yourself on the back. Hopefully you're not getting yourself discouraged and that you're staying ahead of your word count. Remember, the most important thing about NaNoWriMo is just getting into that habit of writing every day. You need to be doing that if you want to make this your full-time gig. So, at any rate, let's jump in here to the show today. What am I talking about when I say the power of threes? You know, it kind of maybe sounds a little hokey or whatever, but the truth is that threes, we see this all through nature, you know, where we can see the transformation of like the caterpillar going into the cocoon and coming out as the butterfly, or water and how it changes into both a solid, liquid, and a gas. And we see that the basics of storytelling, whether we're in a play or in a television show, a movie, or in a book, we see it in threes, beginning, middle, and end. Even the light conversation, light storytelling that we have with our friends and coworkers has a beginning, middle, and end. This is a very natural way that we see things. And one of the things that we can use to edit our work to make sure that we're bringing the most power that we possibly can to our story. So let's talk about where you can see this basically. And I'm going to jump in. We've got a whiteboard. And for those of you who just try to tell you what I'm doing here, and you can envision it. So let's take a look. And I'm going to draw a character here. Okay. And if you are listening, imagine a very poorly drawn stick figure. In fact, imagine three very poorly drawn stick figures. And we see this power in threes and three character interactions most commonly when we jump into, say, romance, because we have the love triangle. So we have the female protagonist or the male protagonist, whichever the case may be, and they are having these two separate suitors who they care for, both of them, because both of them have a different interaction with our protagonist. Now, the other interaction that we have here, so we have, if we think about it, protagonist and two separate characters. We have the interaction the protagonist has with character A and the interaction that the protagonist has with character B. But character A and character B also have an interaction going on now, don't they? So, this is my dirty little secret. I never like to share it, but it helps. It helps. All right. I did read all the Twilight books. Okay. And I actually like the second one. So anyway, that being said, we can move on from that and we can take a look at these particular characters. You know, that we have Bella, who's having the love triangle that's taking place, and our werewolf and vampire are also at odds with each other. So that they are having interactions. Now,
this kind of interaction that's taking place is a very easy way that we can make sure that we have total control of our characters. If you can imagine adding in multiple characters. So again, imagine if you're not being able to see this live, imagine five poorly drawn stick figures. And if we have five characters, start to imagine exactly the interactions that are taking place. So our protagonist interacts with two characters who then interact with the other characters here and interact there. And then we have the devil's sign of the pentagram. Okay, just a joke. Because we do have more than that. And we have all these interactions that are taking place around each other and connecting together. And as you can imagine, if you had five characters on one page, that it's very difficult to keep them straight for the reader, to make sure that they're actually interacting as best they can with one another. And it eventually, normally what ends up happening is that some of these characters kind of fade into the background, or it seems forced that they're jumping into the conversation where they're not needed to be. So that's why three can oftentimes be the best choice when working with characters. We can see this, you know, for instance, in Harry Potter. We have Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and they have an interaction with each other as well. Each of them have a relationship with the other character. And this helps to form and bolster strong relationships amongst the characters so that the reader can connect in a different way. And for instance, if you do have multiple points of view or multiple characters that you have following around your protagonist, you're going to want to figure out ways to then separate them. So, you know, like take that line and draw it between the five characters so that we move three of them into a separate storyline and the other two are off on their own storyline, and that we try to keep the interactions based in twos and threes so that we can have the most page time for these characters so that they can actually be built into real characters, that they can be seen by the reader, and that the reader can connect with them and see that the interactions can take place. Now, talking about protagonist characters and interacting with three or two, let's talk two for just a moment, is that we can have different types of reactions that are taking place. So our protagonist interacts with character A and character B. Now, they like character A and they dislike character B. And character B dislikes our protagonist, so we probably have a foil there, or maybe an antagonist type character. But character A dislikes our protagonist as well. Now, we can have this happening where one character likes another character, but that character doesn't like them back. And we have this interaction that's taking place, which is like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm a likable person. Why in the world don't you like me? And the characters A and B can then also have a separate relationship that maybe they work together to work against the protagonist. So we want to start to develop these where we can see them into threes. Threes work because it's a basic principle in storytelling. It's seen time and time again with our readers, and it's something that becomes familiar and that they can understand at once. Now, let's say that we don't just have characters taking place. We have, this can be used not just with characters, but this can be used in our way that our character interacts with each problem or choice that's placed before them. Our protagonist, of course, is going to have choice one, choice two. Okay. If you've ever seen or read The General's Daughter, Paul Brenner is a detective, a military detective, and he's faced with a issue. The general's daughter has been killed, and the general would like him to take care of this quickly and quietly so that he can move on. And Paul, of course, is feeling some loyalty to the general because he's, you know, has that connection there with the general. just a natural thing that begins to happen with military and the respect that that's afforded them. But he also has something else that's going on, and that's his how he interacts as a detective, right? That those thoughts happen again and again. And the choices become, do I listen to the general or do I listen to my instincts as a detective that there's something else that's going on here? And that the general is interacting with those instincts as a detective as well. And we have this interaction again of three. So when you're having a difficult time, you're saying, I've got the manuscript done. Things are not exactly working out as well as they can. My plot, my problems, they just don't seem to be connecting well. So take a look at those problems and make sure that the protagonist actually has two clear things that they're working on and that those two things can also interact with each other so that we have this good triangle that's happening again and again. And we can see this whether we're looking at our characters as we're going through and editing them, we're looking at our plot and seeing how it's interacting with the characters. Remember, characters and plot, this needs to be a very natural connection that's taking place between them, that the protagonist is not being dragged along with the plot, that they are actually taking part in it and actually being an actor and not just being acted upon. And we can see how this can work time and again as we get into our threes. So if you, let's say, for instance, that you have multiple characters. Let's say you've got, let's go back to our five again. We got five characters that are there. And you're like, well, you know what? My characters, I've got my protagonist and I got my character A and character B and C and D. And come to find out, character D and character A, they actually pretty much think the same way. They pretty much act the same way. And they have the interactions with the other characters pretty much the same. So what you could do then is dump character D. Okay, character D is now just gone. And they just become a part of character A. And this way you've at least dropped at least one of the characters out, and that four is easier to work with than five, and it will become easier for the protagonist to go on adventure with character, you know, like they're out there with character B and C on adventure, and then maybe on this other side our protagonist goes out with character A and B, and we can then have C and A be another set with the protagonist going out together. And we can put them into three different storylines that are taking place where we then have the three characters and we can keep the triangle going. And again, this is just a powerful way so that we can see how these characters are interacting and give them the most amount of screen time. It also gives an additional outlet. So sometimes character, you know, your protagonist is just like, if they have this really great sidekick or confidant that they use all the time, sometimes they need to have an additional outlet, something else that they can turn to and speak with, or another character that they can speak with. And this can be a great way to outlet that and to create these threes. And this is a good time to, you can use this in the editing process where you're looking at scenes, you're like, I just feel like there's too much going on here. And I need to cut this down. This happened to me with Hank Hudson and the Anubis, that I had introduced additional characters, plus the characters that were already there in the story from the first book. And it became just ridiculous trying to manage all of these characters. And this is exactly what I had to do after the first draft, just go back in and start cutting characters out of particular chapters and scenes so that I could have a manageable number so that they could interact with each other in a more efficient way. Can take a look at with these threes is how they can interact with our characters. Now, another one that we want to take a look at, though, is also our try-fail cycles. Now, this is pretty clear, you know, like when we have a character, we give them an opportunity, our protagonist, we want to put a problem in front of them. We want to make sure that they are always getting hit with problems all the time. And so we toss a problem in front of them. Now, what can we do? We can either have them succeed over this problem immediately, but what does that leave the reader with? Not much of a feeling, you know, that the character succeeded. Great. You know, maybe we want to do this once so that we can show that the character has an ability to succeed, that they might have a very small victory. But when we start placing them up against more difficult more difficult things that are going to be happening. Like, let's just say, for instance, that we actually have a fight between the antagonist and the protagonist. And the first time that they come up against each other, the antagonist is just so much more strong. They just have so much more power that completely and totally devastate the protagonist, beat him, make him look like an idiot in front of everybody else, and the protagonist goes away. Now, the protagonist finds that mentor, and they start to train. We got the cool montages, and we've got everything, and now he's ready, and he ends up in an opportunity to fight the antagonist again, and they go up against each other. Now, at this point, what would happen if we had them, Adam, win? I mean, it's possible, right? I mean, that feeling there, that all the stuff that they've learned, and they could beat the antagonist. But if we have them fail again, you know, we feel like there might be a possibility, but then have them fail again, then when the third time comes along, that this third battle is about to take place, that then this is going to have that maximum impact for the reader, because they've had this taken away from them twice before, and they want the protagonist to be able to succeed. That's one of the things we want to see happen, is that's why we have them fail. That's why we throw problems at them, because we want them to eventually succeed. And when we can keep this away from the reader one time, two times, and then present it the third time, and then give them that ability to then best the antagonist in that third interaction, that's going to have a really great feeling for the reader. I have this happen to me all the time. I love this anime called Fairy Tail, and my favorite character is Natsu. And every time, every single episode is basically the same thing. He gets in, he ends up having a fight where he gets beaten by someone who's stronger than him. He comes back, he tries again, and of course again gets beaten down. And then the third time he has to dig deep, use his friends, find the inner power and inner strength, you know, getting clobbered again and again, but keeps getting back up on his feet. And finally, somehow, with no, you know, you just don't think it's going to happen, but there it does. It happens again. And I get so excited when it comes into that third battle, because I know that this time, he's going to be able to succeed. And what is there, like 300 of these episodes that I've watched, and I feel excited every single time that it happens. You know, it's just the natural way that we have been ingrained in how to enjoy a story. And this is what we want to do for our reader time and time again. So try and fail cycles. And again, with the problems, if we can end up having more problems helpful for our protagonist to be, or for our reader, I mean, to have our protagonist given additional problems. So let's say, for instance, protagonist comes along and is faced with a problem. You know, they've been captured, jail. Imagine poorly drawn jail cell. They've been captured. Now, not only do they need to get out, okay? So escape, get out. They find out that there is another character who's there that they need to help escape, maybe perhaps a princess. Okay? And we also find out that their nemesis is there as well. Okay? And imagine my poor handwriting for all three of these. Set up what happens in Star Wars, A New Hope. They get there on the Death Star. They're captured, basically captured, because they're on this, you know, they're on the Death Star. They can't get away. So they're faced with three things. They have to get out, which requires them to release a tractor beam. They find out that the princess is there, so they need to go and save her. And then we find out that Obi-Wan's nemesis, Darth Vader, is there, and then he's going to have a face-off. We have three additional problems that have come out of one situation. So look for times where you can triple the problems on your protagonist, especially if you're using multiple characters. What places does your protagonist have that they can succeed at? Where can you build up one of your secondary characters so that they might have a chance to succeed at something or fail at something? And when we look at this, we can triple the trouble on to our protagonist, this can have a greater impact. You know, that's all we want to do, is we want to have great impact with our reader. And to do that, we need to keep them keep our protagonist in trouble, keep the character interactions sharp, and so that they can feel them. That's why keeping it to like three characters can work really well. Three characters going off and around. Our try fail cycles, you know, we can have fail, fail, succeed, and that can really then connect with the reader, and we can see this time and time again. And it's just a perfect way to do this. I'm really interested in knowing what you think. If you've got additional questions, you can post them, and we can talk more about this and other ways that you can use threes in your work. Take a look right now at your manuscript and examine where you are currently using threes in your work. Are there areas where you can use them to create a stronger character? Can you combine characters together so that you can then have more page time for each individual character so that they can have deeper relationships in that triangle? Are you using actual problems? Like, for instance, the protagonist is actually faced with two choices that they need to make, not just one choice, not just how to beat the antagonist, but maybe it's beat the antagonist or run away, or beat the antagonist or save the farm, or whatever. Give them choices that are difficult to choose between. And how are those two choices then interacting with one another, if they're people or their places or whatever they are, and then we can create the triangles there. So I hope these will be really helpful for you. You can get in there and work on your manuscript and put them right to work. I hope that, especially if you're watching this live on Facebook, I hope this worked, first of all, knock on wood. And if you enjoy the show, please leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, a like on YouTube, and follow us on Facebook. And if you're ready to edit your book for that emotional connection with your reader, stop by thebookeditorshow.com and download our free worksheet. It's going to help you engage with your reader even more. I'm Clark Chamberlain from my co-host Peter Turley, who I hope will be back with us next week. Keep writing, keep learning, and build a better book.
Thank you for listening, and come back next week for more. Please visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books and extras, and for information on how to be a guest on the show.